everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar. Special day here. We got a day to remember with us. Neil, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
Excellent, man. And special in the sense that we could kind of, I guess, semi-release the news of a signature model that people are going to get their hands on real soon from ESP. Talk to me about how this came about.
It's been in the works for a long time. When we were recording Common Courtesy, which I think has been almost 5 years ago now, that was the reason I decided to go with ESP rather than like bringing all of my like Gibsons and my Fenders that I, or my personal collection on the road, is because they promised to do a signature guitar. And that's something that I've always wanted to do since I started playing guitar, is like nothing ever really was exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
And I would always like kind of Frankenstein stuff together, you know, and I was like, you know, will you guys give me a signature? Will you make me what I need? And they're like, yep, absolutely. And then I went through a couple different people at ESP, like a couple different reps, and then finally, Tony at ESP now, he's the one that's kind of making it happen, and it should be ready in NAMM this year, gonna release it.
You were speaking about Common Courtesy. I know that on that you used the Fender Jim Root Strat and other guitars. I know that you've been mostly single cut tie-dye with ESP before the 400. What kind of things that you specifically were looking for to make this your guitar?
So I grew up wanting to be in Blink-182. It was like, I think probably everyone my age probably at least learned one of their songs. But I always loved the single pickup, single knob, like volume knob setup. And I play mostly rhythm in this band, and that's all I really need, you know, and just a good bridge pickup and let it scream.
Before that though, because this is the bare knuckle that you have here, you were pretty partial to EMGs.
Yeah, I use, so I think the best part about EMGs is you can put it pretty much in any guitar and it will sound the same. So it could be a piece of crap wood and it sounds great, you know, like, and that's kind of what we used when we didn't have a lot of money. I played some Schecters that were kind of not the best piece of wood, but if you put an EMG in it, it sounded great.
Is that why you would use that or the other ESPs for touring guitars rather than bringing out your other ones? Just because you knew each night from each room you would have consistent tone?
Yeah, that's very important, especially when you're running in-ears, you know, like everyone will, it's like very close to like, oh, something's different, you know, it's weird. And so that's kind of what has led us to making the decisions we make now as far as our rig, so.
How did you come about Bare Knuckle? Because that's a kind of, you know, they're coming up, but they're a British company, so it's not maybe on the forefront of people's minds for pickups.
So we did a tour with Bring Me the Horizon, and Lee from Bring Me the Horizon, he was playing the, I can't remember what the pickup he was playing. It was the, it was one of the heavier sound, War Pig, I think is what it was. So it was like a super gritty, large sounding pickup, very aggressive. And I loved the dynamics that he had. Like, he was able to get all these different tones from 800 and that one pickup. So I wanted to give a couple of tries. So I wrote the guys at Bare Knuckles, and I was like, you know, this is what my current sound is, and this is what I'm looking for. What could you do for me? What is there, you know? And he's like, I would suggest you try the Aftermath. That's a very tight sounding pickup. And then a Juggernaut, you know, that's kind of a bigger, more aggressive sounding pickup, but it still has the tightness of an EMG, I guess. And so, that's kind of what.
Which one did you end up going for? Which one than this one?
This is, in my signature, it's the Aftermath. And that's the one I use for most of the set. It's what I use in all of our C tuning, drop C tuning.
Okay.
And then I have a Juggernaut in the drop A sharp, which, if everything goes well with this model, then we're going to release the baritone model in the future, and maybe a different colorway, a different pickup configuration. Cool. So, yeah.
And what's the thought process behind having just straight volume? Is it because you don't want to have any mess ups with your switching between pickups or hitting the volume knob or tone knob, or is it just you think it's more powerful and punchy than direct pure signal?
I literally, it's all I use.
So you're just like, why have it?
Yeah, I mean, for up until Common Courtesy, I didn't even use an effects pedal. I literally, it was just straight in. And it was straight from the pickup, volume pedal, or volume knob, and then straight into the amp. And that's all I really used.
And do you, and so on Common Courtesy, you use the tube screamer?
Tube screamer? I use the tube screamer always, but I guess I, I never used any other effect. I never used any like delay or reverb before that. But on Common Courtesy, we started throwing a little bit of delay, a little bit of reverb, and I started like using that more. And now it's kind of like on the new album, I use it a lot more. But I still only use the bridge pickup,
which is perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure if for anything else, it'll hopefully keep the cost down for people that want to pick it up, you know?
That was kind of another thing about this guitar is I figured that I could kind of splurge on the pickup and the electronics since there's only one of each.
Yeah.
You know, like this is the best pickup you can get, I think, for what I'm trying to do and the best pot for what I'm trying to do. And, you know, everything else is exactly the way I want, and we didn't have to spend a ton of money to do it. So,
do you know offhand, since you mentioned the pot, is it like a 250K or a 500? Is
there it's a 500K. It's kind of, since I use it for dynamics, it's built to kind of like roll into the full tone, and then you can like back it off to get more of a clean tone.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a 500K. I think it, I'm not sure what they actually ended up doing for the production, but what I wanted, it was based off of the RS Superpot. That's what I sent them. I was like, it has to be like this. And, but yeah, I'm not sure the actual one that they ended up going with, but that's what the idea is.
Gotcha. I'm sure the wizards at ESP worked it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what about for strings?
Strings are Ernie Ball, not even Slinky on my C. And then like the other tunings, we use different setups, but all are Ernie Ball. Not even Slinky, I think it's 56 through 13, 12. Yeah, 56 through 12.
Thick, man.
Yeah. Well, our highest tuning is drop C, so.
Yeah.
And that was another thing about this guitar is a lot of the Les Paul use like the 24.75 neck scale, I think.
Yeah.
And this is a Fender neck scale. It's like a 25.5.
Okay.
And then the baritone is 27.7.
Is that to keep the tension up?
Yeah, that was something we always struggled with playing in those lower tunings, you know. And so it's finally something that's exactly what I need for what we do.
And now hopefully it'll be something other people can have too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's the trend. A lot of bands are playing in lower tunings, and I think that they could, if they play rhythm or if they just want to have a very stripped back guitar, this would be perfect for them. So
with the killer pickup too.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go through the rest of your guitars. I know you got a couple other the signature white ones, but I see a bevy of ESPs over there.
I still have the Jim Root. I still have that out.
Oh yeah, what do you bring that out on? Is it
it's a backup? Yeah, I use it for my backup. And then if I still use that. And then if I have a song where I need the neck pickup, this has Aftermaths in it as well. I put those in there. And then, yeah, there's the beginning of a song that I use the neck pickup, so I use that for this song, and then...
Cool.
And then the rest are like, I have the other kind of prototype. This is the baritone prototype. It still has the EMG in it.
Okay.
We haven't changed it out yet, but we just ordered another juggernaut from Bare Knuckle, and they're sending it. But
are you pretty set on the color with the flame?
Not necessarily. Like, that was something that they suggested. They're like, we should try this. I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. I kind of like more of like the flat.
Yeah.
Single. But this was just something that we wanted to try out, and it was like the first custom that they made for me. So I just knew that I wanted it to be the schematics and measurements are all to scale with the 74 Les Paul.
Okay.
So like, except for the configuration of the electronics, but like everything else is the same, like the neck radius, type of like the spacing between frets and everything like that. And
how did you zero in on that guitar specifically being the one to be kind of like the mirror?
I always love Randy Rhoads. And
yeah.
When I was growing up, I would always like get like Musician's Friend in the mail, you know, like, and I would just drool over this white Les Paul that was in there. It was like a 74. I think they wanted like 10 grand for it. And I was just like, man, I'll never have that guitar. And like, I always just like, I loved it. It's like, that's the reason why those are white. And like that, my first guitar that I ever had built from Gibson was, it was like a white Les Paul custom. And it was because of that guitar. So I've always been kind of in the search of just trying to have that guitar.
Yeah.
I still don't think I could bring myself to spend 10 grand on it, but it, all of the specs are that. So it's like, this is what that guitar should feel like, you know.
To you.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So that's about it for guitars.
Yep. And then we have this other one that we like. Yeah, we
Oh, right.
Yeah, this is kind of like... So they sent us the baritone, and it wasn't what we needed, so we kind of Frankensteined it, like I said. It's just, this is the one that has the juggernaut in it. But, yeah, we kind of relic'd it ourselves and took all the electronics out and kind of did, like... Yeah, there's some staples in it.
Yeah, Travis. Yeah, I was gonna say, bring out the tone.
We were on tour with Blink and Travis Barker's son. We'd always hang out every day. He's like 13-year-old Landon.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, we're relicking the guitar. I was like, you wanna come like hit it with a hammer or, you know, like scratch it up? He's like, yeah. And he's like,
what kid wouldn't wanna hit something?
I know, that's it. And so he like put some staples in it. So these are from Landon. And then Max, my guitar tech, signed it in the back.
Nice.
Other guitar tech, Johnny, signed it. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Right on. So moving to amps, or what would be amps, you have the Kemper stuff.
Yeah.
Talk to me about how you said a couple tours now that you've been doing this stuff. Talk to me about the transition from, I know you used to be a 5150, I've seen you with Bogners, Engels. How have you gotten to the Kemper world?
So it was essentially, it was just because of shipping costs. Like it would cost us an insane amount of money to get all of our stuff from tour to tour. If we were playing in Europe and then a month later we're playing in Australia and then we're playing in the States, getting that stuff everywhere is very expensive. So
it's a way to save that 10 grand now.
Yeah, exactly. So we were in the studio at the Blasting Room. We were recording Bad Vibrations with Jason Livermore and Bill Stevenson. And they had some experience with Kemper before, and they were like, you know, on records we don't have time for, we use Kemper. And I was like, and then records that we have a lot of time for, we'll go in and get all of our tones. And that's what we did. So I literally shipped all of my amps to Colorado. And so I had like I had the Bogner Ecstasy 20th anniversary. That's like my baby. That's what all of my tones are pretty much based off of. That and then a 5150. 350 watt.
Okay, is that the EVH one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we have a JCM-800 with the Tube Screamer, and then 100 watt. It's like the Stealth EVH.
Okay.
Yeah, we got that one on there too. So, and then Toneville. That's like what all of our clean tones and all of our affected tones go through, the Tonevilles. But yeah, we just sat in the studio, A-B'd the Kemper with the real amp until they sounded almost identical.
Yeah.
Took about 10 hours running it all through their SSL and all their preamps and stuff. And then when we couldn't tell a difference, we were like, well...
We're there.
We can use these. We can bring them on tour. And it's something... We are gearheads. Like, we have... I think between Kevin and I, we have like 30 amps.
Damn.
And like probably like... 20 different cabs, and it's our warehouse at home is just filled with it. So we were not going to use it unless it sounded exactly the same. And we got it to where it was close enough you couldn't tell the difference.
And you guys had already been using in-ears.
Yeah.
Have you noticed anything while using the Kemper now with in-ears, or is it pretty much similar, or you have heard differences?
We absolutely have heard difference. So in different rooms, like if you play in an arena or if you play in a room or a club or a really hot bar or whatever, your sound changes. So like it's all based on a microphone and what sounds bouncing off of places. With the Kemper, we just DI in and it simulates a cab, the cab that we profiled and or emulated or whatever it's called, I'm not sure, but and it sounds the same every single day, nothing changes. So no matter what size room you're in, you get the same exact sound. It's honestly incredible.
It probably gives you a little less headache, and your sound guy has plenty of options.
Yeah, it's crazy because before we would sit here and argue for like 20 minutes before we started sound check. And now it's just walk in perfect every time. It's amazing.
It's a load off your mind, I'm sure. As you perform, even probably a lot easier too.
I think if it's something that young bands should definitely look into, because no matter where you're playing, you can have the same exact sound.
Yeah.
And that's important.
And it's a high cost up front, but I'm sure, you know, it'll pay for itself. And like you said, shipping costs.
You don't have to pay for tubes. You don't have to pay for new speakers if you blow a speaker. You don't have to pay for any of those like extra costs that you would have to pay for with using a real amp, but you still get the sound of a real amp because you stole the tone.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
We talk about sucking the souls from the amps. That's what we joke about.
Dude, Neil, thank you very much. I appreciate it. We're gonna talk to the rest of the band. Congrats on the signature model, man.
Thank you very much.
All right, still in the same spot, new guy, Josh. Josh, how you doing?
Doing well, how are you, man?
Very well. Awesome. As you can see here, he's a bass player. So talk to me about this bass, and apparently there's a funny story. So
yes.
Lay it on me.
You asked me to get out my main bass, and the one I've been using for years and years and years, toss it around the stage and everything. Someone has hurt their hands trying to catch my bass, like, so many times now. Like, four different people have, like, been injured trying to catch it. So I was like, what can I do to be a little crazy, do something weird at the end of the show?
Yeah.
So in Montreal, just a few, like, a week ago, I gave my bass out into the crowd. Just, like, took it off and put it in the crowd. Obviously, it was chaos. People were going crazy. Bass got shredded, like, ripped all up and everything.
Oh, wow.
Just, like, bent. Neck got all bent and everything. My guitar tech fixes it, gets it all ready for the next show in Toronto. I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna do that again. I did it again. And I put it in the crowd. And
same result?
Yeah, they broke it into four different pieces and just like divvied it up to kids. So I thought it was cool. You know, it's something I've had for a long time. Thought it would be special to give. I think some little girl got a piece and she loved it and was
yeah.
so happy.
Yeah, I mean, I've caught drumsticks before. I've yep. caught picks, obviously, but I've never caught or had pieces of shrapnel yep. or I guess in this case, a bass
yes.
in my hand.
Yes.
So that's a cool souvenir.
For sure. I got in a little trouble though, because I think it was literally like a mini riot like in the crowd to get this thing. So.
You got in trouble by like band or crew members or like venue?
Not band or crew, no one here. Everyone thought it was like silly and just maybe yeah, a little fun. Crazy. But yeah, I think the venue was just like, he can't do that. He cannot do that, so.
Oh, I'll remember that next
exactly,
time.
Exactly, exactly, so.
So to get into specifically, you got the Ernie Ball.
Yes.
This is Sterling, or the Stingray, I'm sorry. Stingray.
Yes, yes. And yeah, I actually have not really been playing this one much at all. Didn't even know I had it. He brought it out of the vault and I love it. So this is what I'm using now as my C tuning. And this bass, I have flame maple necks, and this actually is the bird's eye maple neck.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I love it. I love the way it feels more so than just like maple with like the lacquer on mm-hmm. the back or whatever. So, I don't know. This was like better fit for me. And
is there anything that you've done to it, or is it just pretty much stock?
This is stock
killer.
Out of the gate. Yeah, I only have one bass that's really been messed with. It has a little contouring, but nothing actually with any of the internal stuff at all. So.
And like Neil, a single pickup. You have no need for a neck or anything like that.
No. Yeah, it's pretty basic.
Pretty simple.
Just run it, fit it in the Kemper, and it rips.
Aside from damages to other basses, how did you get into the Ernie Ball or Stingray family? I've seen you with Fender basses, the Getty.
For sure.
And the Hoppus. So like, how have you gotten into this family?
For sure. Yeah, I think I grew up like liking Fender, so that's what I owned first. And then whenever it got to a certain level with the band where a couple companies were like, we'll send you stuff.
Yeah.
I just had like Mike from MXPX played on my thought that was awesome. He's an awesome bass player. So I was like, yeah, we'll try him out. And I just haven't looked back. Loved it. They're a great company. They hooked me up. So just been an awesome relationship.
Cool. That's right, man. What about strings? I imagine Ernie Ball also.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Running. What do we, I know this is probably not good to look back over here and ask him. What are our gauges at?
We're doing that purple pack here.
Purple pack.
Bam.
Nice.
Power slinkies.
Power slinkies. There we go. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah.
Do you know, do you have a preference? I know sometimes bass players will leave them on for a long time, or is it just every night type of deal?
I think it's, is it every other day?
The main C gets it every other day.
Okay. So every other, every 2 days.
Yeah.
So pretty often. You like clean new strings?
Exactly. Yeah. I really do not like dead sounding. Like the you can feel it. You can just tell. So no, I like them fresh. Yeah.
And when it comes to playing, are you using picks or kind of mixing it up? Picks and fingers?
Just picks. Only ever played picks.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It probably gives you that aggressive tone.
Exactly. A little bit of action with the digging into it for sure.
Right on. And this is again where we would transition into amps.
Yep.
Again, you don't have an amp.
No.
Which this is the first time I think me and Perry were talking that. We don't have an amp of some sort or a DI. This would be the first bass player we ever had at Kemper.
That's awesome, yeah. Mark Hoppus, he swore by it and we thought it was awesome and it's insane. I don't know if any of the other guitar players in my band talked about it, but it saves us so much money on shipping.
Yeah.
Like $15,000 a year.
Holy
and
shit.
Yeah, it's a lot on freighting because amps and stuff, that's crazy, you know? And we don't run any cabinets on stage or anything, so it's literally just a vault with all of our Kempers in it, and that's it. That's all that needs to be shipped.
And the coolest thing that you were saying off camera is that Neil has dived in, and you guys he got all the tones that he needed from his old amps.
Yeah.
You went off a preset.
Exactly. Yeah, it was an Ampeg head that was
a little
already
tweaking, but nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, just found something that had a little grit, a little bit of like distortion with it. It's what I've always loved bass sound wise.
Yeah.
So it was just simple. Let's
and
use
so
it.
So it was a I think you guys were saying it was an Ampeg preset or something.
That's right. Yeah.
Cool, so, man.
Yeah, it's pretty simple rig, but loving it, and I love the way everything sounds. Ernie Ball and Kemper kills, yeah.
Lean and mean, man.
Yeah, man.
Josh, appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
We're gonna talk to Kevin. All right, last but not least, definitely not last but not least, Kevin, how you doing, man?
Good, man, how you doing?
Excellent, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, sure.
Talk to me about your guitar here.
This guitar I got about a year ago, and I wanted to do some custom stuff with PRS because I've been playing their guitars now for 4 years.
Okay.
They take really good care of me over
yeah.
there. And everyone who works over there, like Rich and everybody's really awesome. But I wanted to do just a couple just custom ones just to see how they came out just because I wanted stuff for myself. And I really like Randy Rhodes from Ozzy. I know Neil probably...
Yeah, Neil shared some love too.
Neil shared some love. But yeah, so I got the polka dots and the kind of Oreo pickups kind of like he had. And I got them tattooed on my arm, so...
Is that
this is my little tribute to him?
That's perfect, man. What do you got for the pickups? Are those like designed and by
these,
PRS?
Or yeah, these are the PRS something 15, like 58, 15.
Okay.
Like
yeah.
85, 15.
Paul, I know.
85, 15. Yeah.
Paul's very particular about numbers, and yeah, so like I think 15 is the year, and then 58 is like after like a PAS style.
Yeah,
pickup.
Yeah. So I have the 85, 15s in all of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what kind of string are you using?
This would be my drop C guitar, and these ones are the beefy slinkies, I believe, that are 11 to 54, Johnny?
Yeah,
11 cool. to 54. And then on Bs, I use 12 to 56, and then we have a few drop A songs where we use a custom gauge.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And how did you get into the PRS family? I've seen you prior to that was with Sewer.
Sewer,
and then before that, I don't know, obviously with Neil, you've been seen with the ESPs too?
Long time ago. I was with ESPs and I was with Gibsons for a little bit. And
so how did you kind of make that shift between what you needed as a guitar player, but also with the family of the company that you're dealing with now as PRS?
Well, I was kind of looking for guitars that were more lightweight, just because after playing Les Paul Customs for years, like my back just started giving out.
Yeah, I bet.
And I think someone at PRS hit up our management company and was like, hey, does anybody want to try out some PRSs? And so they sent me a SC 245 or something like that, the single cut.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried that out and I just loved the way it played and it was really nice and it was still a little heavy. So I was like, can I try the double cutaway? And this one just feels good.
Yeah.
So that's how I switched over to them. Yeah.
So is the main, because with Sewer, you were kind of playing the double cutaway also.
Yeah,
mainly.
It was kind of the Strat style guitars.
Yeah. So is that more of a weight thing with that, or were you?
Yeah, it was more of a weight thing.
Gotcha.
And I grew up playing Strats too. Okay. Like Stevie's like my all-time favorite.
Another guy in the arm.
Yeah, I have a million of them. Like I got Jimmy up here and it's crazy. But so I just wanted to try out a Strat again. Just because I was playing Les Pauls for so long, I was like, well, what's the exact opposite? Okay, I'll go with Strat body.
And why didn't you, from what I can tell, you don't have a burner switch, as you called it, with the Sewer, where you could kick the dynamics, because you know you're going real quiet, loud, real fast.
Yeah, no, I just like my stock guitars from PRS, man. They sound great right out of the case. They all play the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we barely have to set these things up once we get them just straight from the factory.
So. Makes jobs or John's job easy.
Makes Johnny's job. I try to make Johnny's job as easy as possible.
Perfect. Perfect, man.
Yeah.
And is there anything that you do or require of Johnny for like a setup in terms of like action? Like, do you like a high, low, medium? Is there a deal?
You know
what?
I'm not a fussy guy.
Okay.
Like, I can play high action. I can play low action. Just as long as it doesn't like buzz on me.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you get the buzz like on the first frets mm-hmm. or. Maybe high, but these ones, they don't do that, so.
Cool.
As long as they don't do that, I'm fine to play whatever.
Pretty easy going.
Yeah, man.
And but, to go back to it, how do you make those dynamic changes real fast now, since you don't have that switch to go from loud to quiet, distorted to clean? Are you using the volume knob, or do you have volume?
I do all my, my automation and stuff through the Kemper.
Okay.
So, my dirty signal through the Kemper, I mean, we recorded all of it real amps. Like, we own the amps.
Yep.
We're not the guys that are like, hey, you want to toss me some of your Kemper tones? And, you know, this is for free.
Yeah, right.
But we own, like, I think between me and Neil, we own, like, 35 guitar amplifiers, like, just heads.
Damn.
So when we were at the Blasting Room in Colorado recording with Bill Stevenson,
We just did impulses on all the cabs there, and my dirty tone was a JCM 800 with a TS9 tube screamer in front of it, and then to kind of get the little more metally stuff, it was like 5153. So it was both of those amps through two Bogner 412s, and so we did that impulse, and then we all my clean stuff was on this guy called Toneville.
Okay.
He's out of Colorado Springs. He's got a thing called a Broadway that's kind of like an AC30-ish.
Okay.
Clean tone that I really liked, and that was all on the record, so I have that as my clean. And I just switch.
They have like really cool designs, like the Toneville
amps. It's like a
amps.
Wooden box.
Looks like almost like a TV, like the
yeah.
old, yeah.
Yeah, like
old
an old
TV
like
set.
Retro TV set.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's made out of like just really nice, beautiful wood, and they look really awesome. And so, yeah, we have a couple of those. We have a, like I said, we have the Broadway, and then we have the Beale Street.
What about, do you know if you had any impulses for your, I know that you, for a long time you were using the Custom Audio OD-100?
Yeah, yep. I haven't done my head, but there's already an OD-100
oh, okay.
on there. That actually sounds pretty good, but I haven't compared it to my head at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, we're going to go through all of our heads and impulse all of them. At some point in time.
You should take it to like a guitar store sometime and just like be like, let me check out this amp and like kind of just have like the Kemper behind it and just like, you know.
That's the thing though, man. I don't want to.
You don't want to be that guy.
I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy.
So, fair enough, fair
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not using your effects through the Kemper. I mean,
I'm not,
you're
no.
using your own standalone pedals.
Yeah, yep. I've always used pedals, like a ton of pedals, and I've had Bradshaw rigs with when I would use tube heads and stuff a lot. And so I just kept the pedals. I was like, well, why mess with the Kemper
yeah.
effects? I know the Kemper effects are great, but
yeah.
I already have the stuff, so.
And they mesh real well, the digital technology of the Kemper and the, mm-hmm. I see you have a Strymon, so that's of course more
yep.
digital, but I'm
yep.
sure you have some analog pedals and they play nicely together?
Yeah, yeah, it's all really good. I mean, I've always been a guy that just plays his effects in the front anyways.
Okay.
I never really put anything through the effects loops. So for me, it didn't really change when I switched to the Kemper.
And what pedals are you running through that you got on the rack there?
I got the Strymon Timeline. I got the Analog Man Prince of Tone. For sometimes I'll play on the Toneville Broadway and just need like a little bit of
okay.
crunch, so I'll have that on.
Almost like a top boost
yeah,
for the
yeah.
AC.
Yep. And then there's a drop pedal in there, but I don't even use it. So
yeah, I was going to say, do you have I know Whammy used to be a part of your signal.
I think we tried it out for a show. And it didn't work, and
yeah.
it's just stayed in there for some reason. So
it's long for the ride now.
Yeah, it's there for the long. And then I got a Hall of Fame reverb. I got I believe it's a Velvet Minotaur.
Huh.
Made by a guy in Greece. It's got that clown thing going
okay.
for it, where you don't have to pay, you know, $3,000. So that's good. And then I got an old Boss Flanger.
What's that get used for, the flanger?
To be honest with you, it's just for stuff in between songs.
Okay, just
like,
yeah,
we'll like
soundscape stuff.
We'll just kind of do that, and then I'll do the flanger. And just I have a lot of stuff actually that's just for fun. Like my wah-wah pedal, I only use that for sound check, like playing Metallica songs. Like that's it.
So you're Kirk.
Yeah.
And then Neil will be James. Okay.
Yeah. So that's literally the only reason that it's on there.
Which is good though, man. It's
yeah.
all about having fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want to keep John on his toes. So is there any other guitars that you want to show us just
yeah,
offhand?
Yeah. John, let's show him.
I know that you
Baby
probably
Blue.
Got all custom 24s. But
yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And I got one of the PRS baritones too.
Hold on a second.
Oh, he's changing the strings on it.
He's doing his job.
Look at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the other custom one that we did with them.
Oh, hell yeah.
This is kind of like kind of Arctic blue sparkle.
Man, it's beautiful.
I guess.
It's kind of got like that Dave Grohl Pelham blue vibe.
Kind of, yeah.
Just in the paint color.
I just thought it was a really pretty color.
I really like how the chrome comes off on the blue.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that they write everything in hand.
Yeah.
Like by hand. I think that's like all the serial numbers, and they got like custom built for Kevin Scaff, like written
that's
in
pretty
pen,
cool,
which
man.
Is pretty awesome. I forgot to show you, but on the polka dot one, like Paul actually signed it.
Oh,
like
cool.
on the back, which is cool. Paul's a really nice guy, so
And I imagine this one's pretty similar to the last one.
This one's similar, minus obviously the humbuckers are covered on this one. Mm-hmm. And then we got the F-hole just for the semi-hollow. Just gives it, I just wanted a little bit of flavor.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah.
So that's the other custom one. And then the rest are just normal 10-top custom 24s. And then
and the
we are playing an SE baritone. You want to grab the baritone, John?
Is this just an SE or is this like the Tremonti or the Mike?
Nope. This is just a normal SE.
Okay.
Like, I know they've done the stain, like Mike Newshock and stuff, but this is just the normal one that they just put out, like, not even a year ago. And I just changed the pickups in it, really, is all I did.
What you got in there now?
I used to have the Alpha Omegas. Now I have the bare knuckle that I had in my old Gibson Explorer baritone. It was like the Silver Burst that they produced in like 2011.
Damn.
I had this bare knuckle on that for forever, and so I was like just going back to the old trusty.
Yeah, because you know where it kind of sits and it sounds.
Yeah.
What songs are you bringing the baritone out for?
This is on Paranoia, Mr. Highway's Thinking About the End, Better Off This Way, and Exposed.
Cool.
So it gets its use.
Yeah.
And it holds up, man, and like, you know, people always think, oh, SE's like, it's gonna be like a crappier version or something. It's not. They play so well, and I actually really like the SE's too. And the S2's, so.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
It's just all quality. It's all quality stuff. Well, let's show them the acoustic.
What's the acoustic it brought out for?
We have a song called If It Means a Lot to You, which is actually like a best-selling song, which is funny for a metal band.
Yeah.
Metal pop-punk
band. It's like, yeah.
But yeah, so we use this. Actually, this is my backup. My my main acoustic was left out in the rain by an unknown airline company. And the
Jesus
right here, just it was all just cracked and unplayable, which really sucked too because I had that Martin custom made for me. It was a 00042 Marquee, but with a low pro neck and electronics, which is just a couple of things that are different from a Marquee.
Yeah, what did you like about that setup, having that the different neck on it?
I just have like kind of smaller hands. Mm-hmm. So instead of having the rounded with like the V in the back, like the Marquees do, it just fit my hand a little better.
Right on.
And funny actually story about that guitar is while it was being built, they had the body done for it. And it was almost finished, and they called me and they go, hey, we're really sorry, but it's gonna be another 7 months till we can get you your guitar. Eric Clapton's going out on tour and we had to build him guitars and your body fit his spec. So we had to give it to Eric.
Eric has your guitar.
Eric Clapton has my guitar and I want it back. Dude.
I feel like that might not happen.
No, it's not. It's never gonna happen. It's okay, Eric, keep it.
It's Kevin's gift for you,
it's
man.
It's my present to you, buddy. But so this was my backup. This is a OM28 with Madagascar Rosewood back and sides.
It's beautiful.
I love this guitar.
Well, hopefully that unnamed airline doesn't do that to you a second time.
I hope not. This one's starting to feel it from all the travel, like the binding starting to come up. So we just got to get that re-glued.
See, I figured that was custom from the factory.
I want custom black tape.
I don't want my wood to be sealed with glue.
Exactly. I only want the finest gaff tape you have.
Dude, so, Kevin, I appreciate this, man.
Hey, thank you.
Killer.
Appreciate it, man.
Another rig rundown, guys.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.